Good morning. Matthew 21. Today is Palm Sunday, so we'll talk about that from the scripture this morning. It is really good to see you here today. I'm glad that you came to worship with us. You've blessed our hearts by being here today. Let's begin at Matthew 21, chapter 21, and verse 1. Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them.' And immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, 'Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you lowly, and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey.'" So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set the him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitude who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, "Who is this?" So the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee." Of course, today is Palm Sunday. This story is found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Next Sunday is Easter Sunday. That is Resurrection Sunday. So this is the final days of Jesus before his crucifixion on the cross and then his resurrection on Easter Sunday. So we're going to talk about this story today. This is the story, sometimes it's called the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. We know it is Palm Sunday, but this is the day that Jesus made his last trip to Jerusalem. Jesus had been to Jerusalem many times. Jesus spent a lot of time in Jerusalem. Many miracles were done in Jerusalem. Many of his teachings were taught in Jerusalem, so he knew what Jerusalem was. But on this occasion, this would be his final visit to the city of Jerusalem. Now, John tells us a little more detail about this last visit of Jesus to Jerusalem. John tells us that 6 days prior to this day of him entering into the city of Jerusalem, he came to Bethany. Now, what was at Bethany? Well, John tells us that was the home of Lazarus. You know what happened to Lazarus? He was the one that Jesus had raised from the dead. It was the home of Mary and Martha. So these were close friends of Jesus. During his final days, perhaps, Jesus wanted to be in a home of love that welcomed him, a home that he was very familiar with, a home where his friends were. So he was there in Bethany. There was a little village next to that town of Bethany called Bethpage. We don't know a whole lot about it, but that's where Jesus was on this occasion. So what I want to do today is try to share with you just 3 simple lessons from this story. You're familiar with this story. This is my 25th Easter with you all here at Bellland, if you can imagine that. This is my 25th sermon from this story, and then next week from the Easter story. And so as I looked at this story, I just asked God to reveal to me maybe just some simple lessons from this story, because we're familiar with this story. And what I thought about was this: there is more to this story than meets the eyes. There's more from this story, perhaps, than what I've thought about in the past. And maybe there's more to this story, maybe, than what you have thought about in the past. And so as we look at this story today, what I want to do is to talk to you about the identity of Jesus Christ. And so the first lesson I'm going to talk about is the identity of Jesus Christ. This was Passover time. There was a survey taken in Jerusalem 10 years after the death of Jesus on the cross. According to that historical record and that survey, that census that was taken by the Roman government, 10 years after the death of Jesus on the cross, they estimated the population of Jerusalem to be over 3 million people at the time of Passover. So if you go back 10 years, here when Jesus came into the city of Jerusalem, probably there was between 2.5 and 3 million people here for the Passover. At Passover, they had to sacrifice a lamb, because that was the significance of the Passover, going all the way back to the Old Testament, to the time of Egyptian bondage, and the Passover there when the lamb was slain. And so it was estimated by the census also that in Jerusalem at this time for Passover, there would probably be about 240,000 lambs in the city. So the Bible says the multitudes greeted Jesus when he came into the city of Jerusalem. That's the multitude. You're talking between 2 and 3 million people who greeted Jesus when he came into Jerusalem. Now, inside the city of Jerusalem, that was a small place. So, I mean, you can imagine the crowd that was there that day. Now, here in America, we don't know much about a coronation of a king. Chris is from Scotland. You may know more about coronations than we do. But it's a big deal. I mean, it's a big thing, a coronation. I can remember, when Princess Di got married to Prince Charles, and what a big deal that was, and all that went into that. Well, you can imagine the coronation of a king. And so here, what's different about this is this coronation is unlike any coronation of any king in that day. The typical way that a king would be crowned would be riding on a stallion and chariots and, coming all the power and might of what a king would be. But not Jesus. Jesus came into Jerusalem that day on a donkey. Now, Matthew gives us a little bit more detail here to say that it was the colt of a donkey, so this donkey's mother was next to her. Has anyone here ever ridden a donkey? Can I see your hand? Donkey basketball, that's right. I was playing basketball in our city, and they decided they wanted the team to play donkey basketball. That donkey I got on, I don't know if anybody had ridden that donkey or not, but it didn't want to do what I wanted it to do. And I made that donkey stop, and here I go, head over heels, But if you've never ridden a donkey, or a wild donkey, you've missed out a lot in life. But Jesus was on this donkey, and you can see the control here. Of course, his mother was next to him, and, just everything here just, coming together. Jesus had sent his disciples into the city, to the village to, get the donkey. You see the control there. Evidently, the people that he got the donkey from, evidently they were believers in Jesus. Because Jesus said, when you go there, just say, the master needs the donkey, and everything worked out. But what you see in the identity of Jesus here is his control. His hour had come. The time of the cross was just before him, and so you see Jesus in control of these events. Now, the identity of Jesus, of course, was really misunderstood by most people when he came into Jerusalem. What they wanted was a military Messiah. They wanted a military leader that would rid them of Rome and Rome's dominance over them. But Jesus didn't come in as a military leader. He came in humility. And as the Bible says, he humbled himself even to the death of the cross for our sins. And so he came in to Jerusalem on this day. And so everybody was talking about it. They were crying, Hosanna. The word Hosanna is taken from a group of Psalms in the Old Testament, Psalm 118 through Psalm 124, called the Hela Psalms. And what they are is just a group of Psalms. A psalm of praise is basically what it was. But the word Hosanna means to save now. Save us now. This was Passover. They were thinking about Egypt. They were thinking about how God delivered them from Egyptian bondage. So no doubt that went through their minds at this time. But you see, Jesus came for a different reason. Jesus came to give us peace with God. Jesus came to bring salvation. So they were saying, save us now. Deliver us now. Hosanna. The Bible tells us that these were palm branches. Mark and Luke, they give the description of them. But that's symbolic of joy. It's symbolic of deliverance. It's symbolic of salvation. So you have all this going on. And so here Jesus comes in the city. The Bible tells us that Jesus came into the city on this donkey for two reasons. The reason he allowed this at this time, number one, according to verse 4, is to fulfill prophecy. The prophecy that is written about Jesus here, the prophecy that is quoted here, is taken from the book of Zechariah. And so this is a direct fulfillment of that prophecy. There's another prophecy that was fulfilled here. It's taken from the book of Genesis that was fulfilled here. So Jesus is fulfilling that. But in Daniel 9:25 and Nehemiah 2:6, there's a prophecy about Jesus coming, or the king coming into Jerusalem. 483 years after those prophecies in Daniel and Nehemiah given, Jesus came into the city of Jerusalem. To the very day, to the very year, to the very time, Jesus said, my time has come. This was the time of the cross. This was the time of his trial eventually that week. This was the time of that week when Jesus would have the Last Supper with his disciples. So at the right time in history, at the right place in history, Jesus came into Jerusalem, the identity of Jesus Christ. There's another reason he came in the city. John tells us this. John says he came in the city, and the reason he stayed at Lazarus' house is because what the religious leaders wanted to do was to put Lazarus to death. Because the testimony of a dead man, you know, alive again, was really stirring people up. And it caused a lot of people to believe in Jesus. So, you know, it led to anger the religious leaders for Jesus to come in and present himself as king. So, eventually, you know, this week he would be crucified. This same crowd here, many of them who were crying Hosanna, you know what they're crying on Friday? Crucify him. Crucify him. And so, you see all this coming together. Now I want to talk about the honesty of John. I've seen this story, this very simple story, and the honesty of John. In John 12, verse 16, that's where this account is found in John's Gospel. Verse 16 of John 12 says this, his disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, and then they remembered that these things were written down about him and what he had done and all the things that pertain to Jesus. You see the honesty of John. You see the honesty of these disciples. Here, you know, who would imagine a king coming into Jerusalem for a coronation on a donkey? Now, this doesn't make sense. Now, we look at this today and we think, what does a donkey and what does Jesus coming into, you know, Jerusalem, what does that have to do with me today? And we look at that, the benefit we have, we have the Bible, we know. But think about, you know, what was going through their minds. They just couldn't put this all together. And so they had just an honest, question about it, trying to put everything together here. But in Luke 24:45, after the resurrection, listen to what Scripture says. He opened their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. This was before the cross. This was before the resurrection. But you see, after the resurrection, then they could look back and understand how all this could come about. You see, that's where we are today. We have the benefit of looking back to the cross, of looking back to the resurrection. We have the New Testament, and we can understand, you know, what all this is going on here. Of course, I've got to be honest with you, too. There's a lot in here I don't understand. And I come with my honesty to the Scripture, just like they do, and basically say, God, just open my eyes to the truth of your Word. You see, the Word is given to us here. As a preacher, you know what I am? I just deliver the news. That's what I do. And I try to deliver it in a way where I don't mess it up or make any mistakes, but the truth of the story is here. So what's the simple lesson of the story? The simple lesson of the story is the identity of Jesus Christ. This is the Son of God coming in Jerusalem. This is the Son of God who is in control of the events of that week. This is the Son of God who knows everything. He knows where the donkey would be. He knew the house. He knew the response. And so that's his identity. But also you see some honesty here too. We were talking Wednesday night in our Bible study. John and Kim and I were talking after our Bible study Wednesday night. And what we talked about Wednesday night was John chapter 3, where Nicodemus had a conversation with Jesus. Throughout the Gospel of John, you find that there was an occasion where Nicodemus, he defended Jesus at one of the meetings. And then later the Bible tells us that when Joseph of Arimathea came to the cross to take the body of Jesus, and to take the body of Jesus to bury him, that there was a man with him by the name of Nicodemus. The point I made was, and that was this, when they took Jesus' body down from the cross, don't you think Nicodemus probably thought about John chapter 3? That conversation he had with Jesus. And then, 3 days later, the resurrection. Did Nicodemus become a believer? I think so. But if he wasn't a believer at that point when he went and got the body of Jesus, I tell you what convinced him, it was the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Folks, we have a risen Savior. We have a living Lord. And so you see that here in the story. You just see some honesty here. It may be today that, you don't understand everything about the Bible. You don't understand all the stuff about Jesus and what we talk about and all those things. Just, be honest with God about that, and He will open your eyes to the truth of God's Word, just like He did these disciples. And then there's a third lesson here, just a simple lesson I want to talk about. And that is the necessity of grace. To really see Jesus, who He is, what He did, all that He means to us. You know what we need? We need God's grace. The Bible says that we are saved by grace through faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We all need God's grace. There were people here this day who rejected Jesus. There were some here who believed in Him. There were some here who, had honest questions about who Jesus was and all like that. So where God's grace comes in is this. Let me try to say it this way. You're not here by accident today. God's grace has you here. And the way God has chosen to present His story from the Bible is through preaching. That's God's way of doing it. It's not the person that preaches, but that is the way God has chosen to communicate His story to us. By God's grace, we hear the story, and we make a commitment to that story. You see, what it takes is this. It takes knowing something about the Bible. Knowing something about Jesus. Knowing something about, you know, the story of Christ and all that He came into this world to save us from our sin. So there's got to be knowledge. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But there also has to be something else. There has to be belief. Belief in who Jesus was. His identity here. He was the Son of God. If you want to see the true coronation of King Jesus, look in Revelation chapter 5. That is the true coronation of King Jesus. Around the throne, the multitudes are saying, "Worthy is the Lamb." Hosanna and praise to the King in Revelation chapter 5. But we've got to know something about Him. We've got to believe the things that Jesus did. We've got to believe the things that He said. We've got to believe in His story. But then there's another step. And that step is this. At some point in your life, in my life, we have to take that step of commitment to who He is, to what He said. We take that step of commitment to our knowledge of Jesus. We take that step of commitment to what we say that we believe about Jesus Christ. And so as a teenage boy many years ago, I took that step. I didn't understand a lot about the Bible. I didn't know all the stuff, you know, about all the things in there. But I knew this, that I wanted to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I did it that day. I took that commitment. I took that step to say, I'm going to commit to what I know about Jesus and what Jesus said about Himself. And that day I received His salvation. When He came in Jerusalem that day, that's what He wanted people to do. Some of them did that, others did not. I'm asking you today, where are you in that crowd? Where are you today in your relationship with the Lord? This morning we're going to extend a gospel invitation, and we invite you to take that step of commitment, to put faith in Jesus Christ, if you would do that. Let's stand together for our prayer. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, during this time of prayer and invitation, this in your heart this morning, if you've never received Jesus as your Savior, open your heart to Him. Just ask Him to come in and be your Savior. Just in your way, in your words, ask Him to do that. Father, we just thank You for the story from the Bible today. This is a very familiar story. Most of us here today know what Palm Sunday is. This is a story that we've read from the Bible many times. But Father, there's something deeper here too. And I think a lot of times we overlook it. We really overlook the simplicity of this story today. What You want people to do is to receive You into their hearts. That's what You wanted when You came to Jerusalem on this Palm Sunday. You wanted people to open their hearts to You. Father, I pray that there'd be those who'd do that this morning. We just thank You today for our time of worship. We thank You for all the music and all the songs. And Lord, we just thank You for this day of worship. We do love that old cross. And we thank you for the power of the cross and the power of the resurrection that can change lives today. In your name we pray. Amen.